All right, we're going to start here at the bottom of Tetzayin Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing what we left off with yesterday, which is the necessity or the need to have a Shia Behishtachavaya, that a person has to either bow down or tarry the amount of time it takes to bow down in order to be Chayav if they become Tameh inside of the Mikdash and they don't leave immediately. So now the Gemara is going to query, there's going to be a series of queries here, all of which end up in a Teiku. But a question of how far do we take this application of the necessity for Shia. So the first question is at the bottom, Tetzayin Amud Bet, but the two dots is by Rava. Tzarech Shia the Malkot, or Ein Tzarech Shia the Malkot. When it comes to this concept of Shia, our Mishnah is discussing about the Korban. The Korban, so maybe that's a din in Korban, but not a din in Malkot. So that's what Rava wants to know. Do we say, when it comes to the Karban Gemire Shia, that there's a halacha the Moshe Misinai, there's a Mesora when it comes to the Karban, that Shia is what makes you Chayav. The Malkot, lo Gemire Shia. On the other hand, for Malkot, you will not require any tarrying or any delay in order to be Chayav. Now, exactly what that means is not clear. What does it mean that you won't need any Shia at all? So there are a number of different cases. One case is if there are edim there who warn him or tell him not to be mitameh to an item when he's standing in the mikdash, he'd be chayav right away. That we do know. The other thing is, shia is a certain duration. But what we're not suggesting over here is that he would be chayav immediately for malkot if he didn't leave. I mean, we have to give him an opportunity to leave. So the Tosos here suggests that the amount of time would be the kedei yitziyah v'achnasa, the amount of time it would take for him to leave and to come back in. But there is some sort of shiur shia that he has. The question is, it wouldn't be as big as that of a korban. Oh, dilma bifnim gemirei shia. This term or this issue of shia has to do with the mikdash, anything inside of the mikdash. That's whether loshna le korban, loshna le malkot. We're indifferent whether we're talking about Malkot or we're talking about Korban. We're talking about inside the Mikdash. Remaining in Tumah or Bituma inside of the Mikdash, that the requirement to be Chayav is Shia. And that's so Gemara leaves that as a Teiku, unresolved in this case, as to whether Shia has application by Malkot or does not have application by Malkot. Boi Rovo, Tala Atzmo Be'avir Azara. Person who is in the airspace of the Azara. Now, this is a case, Mahu. Ki gmiri shia, shia debat hishtachava. Then when we say shia, what is the determination of what shia is? The shia is the amount of time, kadeh hishtachava. So do you have to have the possibility or the ability to do hishtachavaya in order for it to be shia? And therefore, you would have to be on the ground. Oh, dilma bifnim shia gmire, loshna debat hishtachava, loshna delabat hishtachava. Now, maybe Hishtachavaya is just the determining factor of how long Shia is. But we don't require that you actually be able to do Hishtachavaya. We just need to know that you waited the amount of time of Hishtachavaya. It's a din inside of the Mikdash, not a din in actual physical Hishtachavaya. And the Nafka Mina, again, will be here where he's in the Avir of the Azara. And again, we leave it as a Teiku, an unresolved issue over here. By Ravashi. Timei atzmo b'mezid, mahu. So what's the din if he's mitame himself b'mezid? So now, we have to talk about a case here. When he's mitame himself b'mezid, is that he didn't know he was in the Mikdash when he did it. He was mitame himself b'mezid, but he's still shogeg the gavim Mikdash. Because if he knew for certain that he was in the Mikdash and he's mitame himself b'mezid, even if he forgets afterwards, there's no korban. Because this is a person who's doing something with intent. There's no shav midiato. There's no, you know, he didn't know something and now he knows something. He knew something all the way along. So that's the case here. And you have to say again, by Malkot, the case here is where they didn't give him hatra'ah until after he was already tameh. Because again, if they gave him hatra'ah at the moment he was becoming tameh, he'd be chayav Malkot on the spot. He'd be chayav Malkot right away. So that's Ravashi's question is, tameh atzmo v'mezid, mahu. Be'ones gemirei shia, the din of shia has to do with ones, meaning that in a case where you don't, and it's an accident, he became tamei by accident inside of the mikdash, and that's what this whole concept of shia is revolving around. b'mezid lo gmir reishia, but not in cases of mezid where you intentionally become tamei in that location. Oh, dilma bifnim gmir reishia. Again, the same question: is this din of shia just has to do with being inside the mikdash? We don't. It's irrelevant how you become tamei. Lo shna b'ones, lo shna b'mezid. It's irrelevant how you become tamei. It's just simply that you're in the mikdash. That has the din of shia, or is the din of shia particular to this case or this instance where you don't know or where you became tamei b'ones? Again, the Gemara leaves it as a teku. And now, the last question. Again, this question of the mezid has to be, or is premised on im timsa lomar. Meaning that if you say that there's shia of a malkot, right, because that's what the premise is here. To be chayav in mezid b'shia means that you have to be chayav malkot b'shia. So Ravashi's question is premised on the point or the conclusion from Rava's question before. Rava asked by mezid, is there shia? So Ravashi's question has to be based on the fact that there is Shia by Mezid, otherwise his question doesn't start. Because he's talking about a case of Mezid, and that means Malkot. So it has to be that he believes that in a case of, or Ibn Tim Salomar, in a case where there is Mezid, you need Shia, does it apply in a case where he is Metameh himself, Mezid? Alright, so now the last question by Ravashi, Nazir Bekever by Shia the Malkot, O Enu Tzarich. When we talk about a nazir who becomes tamei, obviously, is chayav malkot. The question is, does he have to become chayav malkot? Does he simply have to become tamei, or does he have to remain in a state of tumah for that amount of time, kidei hishtachavaya, in order to become tamei? What's the din? Why, what would you think here? Say, by shi'ad malkot lo, eno tzarech. Bifnim gmirei shia, b'chutz lo gmirei. Maybe the din of Shia only has application inside of the Mikdash. It's a din in Mikdash, not a din outside of the Mikdash. Odilma ba'ones gemire. Maybe the din of Shia has to do with whenever you become Tamei, unbeknownst to you, or something that happens all of a sudden to you. Befeta bifitom. And then Shia, lo shna bifnim, lo shna b'chutz. So the question of the Shia here, is the Shia focused on the bifnim, on the Mikdash aspect, or is the Shia focused on the fact that you became Tamei be'ones? Well, if it's focused on the case side of ones, then by Nazir you also have an ones case. He all of a sudden became Tamei, and now, in order to be Chayav, he has to remain in that state of Tumah without removing himself. Or do we say, no, the din of Shia is a din bifnim. Nazir, doesn't matter, it's irrelevant how long he stays there in the Tumah, he becomes Tamei right away. Now, the question, as Rashi points out over here, the question by Nazir is not about Korban. Even though the Nazir brings a Korban when he becomes Tamei, that's the Korban of a Nazir Tamei, nevertheless, that's not relevant in our case over here. What is relevant is Malkot. Why? Because we saw this back on Daf Chet. If you remember, on Daf Chet, the Gemara asked about the Korban Nazir that is different. Nazir Tamei is different than a Chatat Kvua. And this is different, like Kula of a Chatat Kvua. Maybe that's what the Korbanot of Yom Kippur should be Mechaper on. And there the Gemara says, no, we're only talking about the Chol Chatotam and not the Chol Tumotam. So that means that the Korban of the Nazir Tamei is not coming for a Chatat. It's coming to be matir him or to allow him to start to restart the count of the Nazir Tahor. So the Korban Tamei of a Nazir is not about a Chet and not because he was Chote, but rather simply to restart his count. And that's what Rashi says over here. Korban Nazir Tamei, lava von tuma ati, elameichel aleni zirul tahara. And Rashi back on Daf Chet Amud Aleph says it's a Gzerat HaKatuf. Not only is it, but it's a Gzerat HaKatuv that he needs this Korban in order to start or restart his count over here. So when the Gemara asks the question about Nazir, they're not asking about the Korban, they're asking about Malkot. When he does it intentionally and somebody warns him, all of a sudden he becomes Tamei, and somebody warns him, if you don't leave here, you're going to be Tamei, Alti Tamei, Alti Tamei, he's going to get Malkot for that. That's the case that we're speaking about over here. Balo Baruka Chayav Bikatsara Patur. So this is in the continuation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have to leave in the shortest way possible from the Azara. You have to can't take the long way out, you have to take the short way out. So Amar Rava, Ktsara Shamru, Afilu Ekev Bitzat Godel, Vafilu Ekolayam Kulo. We are not interested in the expedience by which you leave the Azara. We're interested in the path that you choose. As long as you choose the shortest path, it doesn't matter how long you take to go that path and to leave the Mikdash. All that matters is that you took the shortest way out. So that's the Rava statement. Now, Rava asks a question. By Rava, shiyot mahu shiitztarfu. This person who's on his way out, if he stalls or he tarries for a moment, then restarts leaving, tarries. But in each point that he stops or tarries, he doesn't have a kedei hishtachavaya. He doesn't have enough of shia. Do we say that each of those stops along the way can be mitztarev to create one shia and he'll be chayav? Or do you have to have it in one instant? He waits the amount of time of Shia. So Gemara says, well, Tifshut Lei Mididay. Why is Rabbi even asking this question? Rabbi just made a statement that you can go out all day. You can take all day you want to go out the shortest route. So it sounds like you could stop and go, do whatever you want on the shortest route. So Gemara says, wait, Hatam Medelo Shah. You can't answer from there. There, the case when Rabbi was talking about, we never stopped. That case where he went out the shortest way and took him all day, was he was walking all day. He just walked, you know, one foot in front of the other, slowly, slowly, but never stopped. Our question here is about when he does stop. When he does stop, are you mitzaref the times that he stopped to make it into a single unit? Right? So again, that's a question of Rabbi that we don't have a conclusion to. Boy mine, Abaye me Rabbi. So Abaye is asking a question of Rabbi. The question is being asked of is Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. And Rashi points out over here that when it's ever Abaye asks the question, it's from Rabbi, because Rabbi is his Rebbe. And that's why he would ask a question. And not Rava. Rava is a peer. Rabbi argues on Rava. He's a chaver. But when he asks a question, Abaye, he's asking his Rebbe, and that's Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. So that's Rashi just makes that point that throughout Shas, whenever you see Bay Mine Abaye, it should be me Rabbi and not me Rava. So now, Balo Baruka Shi'ur Kitzara. What happens if he takes the longer path, but he doesn't in the amount of time it would take done to take the shorter path? I mean that for a normal person to leave the shorter way, he takes the same duration to leave on the longer path. I mean he ran on the longer way out. Is that okay? Mahu. Shi'ur Gemire. All we care about is the amount of time. Duration is the issue here. And if you do not stay that duration, you're fine. So even if you went the longer way, as long as you did it under the time, your threshold that it would take to go out the shorter way, then you're fine. And therefore, if he goes out the longer way, but doing it in the shorter manner, he'd be patur. Oh, Dilma, davka mire baruka chaya b'ktzara patur. Or maybe we mean davka. Davka means that you have to literally, you must take the shortest path or the shortest route, and you cannot take the longer route. We're not interested in the amount of time it takes you. We're interested in the path that you take. So Amalei Rabbo responds to him, lo nidna ruka litchot etzlo. That you do not have the opportunity to go the longer way. Meaning that the longer option is not an option. The answer is that you have to go. You have to go out the shortest way possible, and you have to leave in the shortest path. How long it takes you, like Rava said before, is irrelevant. What we care about is that as long as you take the shortest path out. So Matki for Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira has a question based on this. Elo the Kaimalon. We have a position that Tamei Shishimesh Bimita. Tamei that's mishamesh in the Mikdash is chayav mita bidei shemaim. Heichi mishkachala. Where's the case that a kohen tamei is mishamesh in the Mikdash and he is chayav mita bidei shemaim? Why? So idelo shaha heichi avid avoda. If he leaves immediately like he's supposed to, then he has no time to do any avoda. So that's not possible. Ida shaha. If he tarries before he leaves, which would allow him to do the avoda, then bar karetu. That is chayav karet. He's chayav karet for tumat mikdashuk dashab, because he stayed a period of time to make him chayav karet. Now the Rabbeinu Tam does ask over here, so what? Means okay, so he's chayav karet. Why does that have anything to do with the mita bidei shamayim? So even though Tosfos says that it doesn't really answer the question, he says there is a big nafkamina between whether it's chayav karet and chayav mita bidei shamayim. I mean, karet, if you get malkot, you get rid of the karet. That does not get rid of mita bidei shamayim. So there are nafkaminot between the two. The question in the Gemara, which is interesting, the Gemara seems to say that, oh, if he has chayav karet, then mita bidei shamayim is not relevant anymore. So I don't know if this is like the opinions that say that karet has a din of kimle derabi mine, and therefore karet would knock off any other punishment, even though you're talking about mita bidei shamayim, which is not exactly a kimle derabi mine case. But maybe you would say that it's you can't have double jeopardy, you can't have trei mitot, whatever the reason is that he's not, if he's chayav karet, mita bidei shamayim is not relevant over here. So now Gemara says, okay, I amart bishloma shiura gimirei. If you say, like the tzad that Rabba did not accept in Abaye's question, that all we care about is how long, the duration it takes you to get out, then mishkachala da onishnaf shei biktzara vavarabuda. He ran at high speed out of there, so therefore he had more time to do the avoda in between. I mean, if it takes a normal person 5 minutes to leave, so what he could do is he could do avoda for a couple minutes, and then he could dash out of there. And if it only takes him 5 minutes in total, then he's not chayav karet because he didn't have a shia there. He didn't wait longer than 5 minutes. So that's the that we could answer. We could explain this case if you believe that the din is in shiur. Ella, but on the other hand, if you like what Rabbo says over here, if we think the din is related, Dimar Davka Gemire, that the din is related to the path you take, not the duration, right? Then, Hei Chemish Gachala, what's this case that you have Mita B'day Shemayim for a Kohen Tameh that's Mishamesh? So I'm Rabbi, my Kushya. What do you mean? What's the question here? Mishkachala Kagon Shibab B'Ktzara, V'Afach B'Tzinora. He went out the shortest path, the shortest route, and on the way, he stokes the meat or one of the evarim that's on the mizbeach. Ucha de Rav Huna, like the din of Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, zar shafach betzinora chaya mita. A zar who flips over the evarim on the mizbeach is considered classified like an avodah. Since an avodah, hazar akarev yumat. A zar who does avodah is chaya mita. So you see, this is qualified as an avodah. So now we have a case of kohen sheshimesh bituma. And he wasn't chayav karet. He left in the most expeditious manner on the shortest path, but on the way out, he stokes the fire. He turns over an aver on the mizbeach. So it didn't cause him to tarry at all. It doesn't cause him any delay, but he did an avoda. So that'll be the case where he's chayav mitah b'dei shamayim and not chayav karet. So now the Gemara wants no kufa. Amar avuna zar shafach b'tzinora chayav mitah. Right, a zar that flips over a aver is chayav mitah. Why? Hey Chidami, what's the case over here? If he didn't flip over the Aver, it would not have been consumed in the fire. Then Pshita, of course he's Chayav, because he's the one who's putting it on the Mizbeach then. But if it's a case where he doesn't, if he didn't stoke it or he didn't flip it over, it would not have been consumed. Right then, my COVID. Then what type of avoda is he doing over here? So, lo tzricha, di lo hafach bu miachle bitarteshai. If he doesn't flip it over, it would be consumed in 2 hours, right? But he, now when he flipped it up, he accelerated the consumption on the mizbeach. Anything that brings the avoda closer, meaning that accelerates the avoda, is classified like avoda. It's like a similar concept that we have by Shabbos, that I'll call it mekarev etzel ha'esh. Anything that where you bring the esh closer, right? That's also classified like melocha on Shabbos. So to over here, avoda. Avoda is when you accelerate something, that's also avoda. And therefore, where he caused acceleration, the consumption of the korban, that is avoda. And therefore, a zar would be chayav if he did such an avoda. And a kohen shishimesh bituma would be chayav mita bidei shamayim. Yes. No, but he's not addressing the case of tuma and avoda. That's the point. Rav Huna is only addressing the case of Zar she'asa avodah is chayav mita. He has nothing to do with Tumah. We're bringing him in for the Tumah case, but he was not addressing that at all. He was addressing one simple question. A Zar who turns over an Aver is chayav mita for working because he's a Zar. Nothing to do with Tumah. Just simply working. What is it that Rav Huna is addressing over here? What case is Rav Huna talking about where you wouldn't have known that a Zar is considered to be doing avodah? So if it's the case where he's putting it on the Mizbeach, that's clear-cut avoda. We don't need Rav Huna for that. Rav Huna has to be coming to teach us about a case where we would have possibly thought it wasn't avoda. So what's that case? That's, again, the case where he accelerates. So he's not addressed. The Tuma case is done. That's, you know, here Gufa means that we're taking a tangent and we're discussing Rav Huna himself. What's this? It's a Lach of the Moshe Messinai, it seems to be. That's why they had all those questions before. Before we said how much is Shia, they said from the pasuk about Hishtachavaya, but that wasn't necessarily that there was that was the source for the din, right? The Gemara seems to be, and it's clear from the way the Gemara says it, ki gmire. When we gmire means we have some sort of misora or lach la moshe b'sinai. Do we say it by here or we say it by there? So gmire sounds like it's a misora, not that there's actually a makor for Hishtachavaya. Amar Rabbi Yoshia, beina de'ema milta u'mistafina mechavraya. Rav Yoshia says, I want to say something. I have something to say, but I'm embarrassed to say it because I'm afraid of what my friends are going to say to me after I say it. Hanichnas lebayit beit hamnuga, someone who enters into a house that has nigaim on it, derech achurav. He doesn't walk in face first. He walks with his back first into the house. Right? So now his point is, v'afilu kulo chutz michotmo, even if he enters his entire body, except for his nose, they're using his example because it projects outside of the, right, the airspace of the body. It's the point that goes out furthest. So because of that, if he walks in backwards and only his nose is still outside of the house, that he'd be tahor. Dichtiv, because it says, v'haba el habayit. The one who comes into the house will be tamei. Derech bia asra Torah. The Torah only asers derech bia. They're going in the normal manner of going in, normal manner of entering. So that means that when you enter into the Bayit HaMenugah, then you'll be chayav if rove of your body goes in. If you went in face first, then as soon as you reach the rove of your body, then you'd be chayav, because we say rubo kikulo. If he walks in backwards, which is not derech bi'ah, right, then he's not chayav until his entire body is inside of the house. Now, truthfully, you could have said rubo kikulo also when he goes in backwards. Otherwise, Tosu says, but then there's no nafkamina. The Pasuk says derech bi'ah, you have to have a difference between entering face first and entering back first. So that rubo kikulo is that difference. So we only say rubo kikulo when he enters face first, not when he goes in back first. Now, why was he afraid to say this? He's afraid to say this because if that's the case, ihochi kulo nami. He says then, why should he be chayav at all? If he walks in backwards, he shouldn't even be tamei when he enters his entire body into the house. Why? Because he didn't do it derech biyah. He didn't come in the normal way. He came in an unusual manner, and therefore it's not classified as habay labayit of coming into the house. So he should be tahor even if his whole body goes in. So that's what he's afraid. So now Rava helps him out and says, no, Rava says, you're right. You know why? I'm a Rava. Kulo lo gara mikelim shebabayit. If his body is entirely in the house, he's no better off than the utensils that are found in the house at that time. We asked him to clear out everything from the house before the Kohen comes to determine whether the negative is Tamei, because once he determines that it's Tamei, everything in the house will become Tamei. So when the person himself is found inside the house, he's no different than any other object in the house. He'll become Tamei because he's an object inside of the house. The only thing we're questioning over here is derech biyah, in the process of entering the house, right? When do you become chayav? When's that moment you become chayav? So that's where Rav Oshia comes in and explains that when it's derech biyah, when you're entering the normal manner, then rubo kukulo, as soon as the robe of your body is in, you're chayav. Whereas if you go in backwards, which is not derech biyah, until the entirety of your body is in, you're not chayav. Because then in the process of entering, you will never be chayav because you're not entering in a normal manner. You only become chayav once you're in the house, like anything else that's in the house. You become chayav at that moment. So where it says, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braisa that supports this position. Gagin alalu, the gagin we're talking about here are the roofs of the lishkot in the mikdash that are found inside of the azara. One is not permitted to consume over there kodesh kodashim, which are required to be eaten within the azara. Ve'en shochtim sham kodeshim kalim, and also kodeshim kalim you cannot shecht there, because kodeshim kalim are their shchitatam b'chol makom b'azara. They can be anywhere in the azara, so that doesn't qualify as a space in the azara. Tosis points out that you also cannot eat kodeshim kalim there either. And why is that? Because v'tamei shenichnas derech agim leichal patur. And also some tamei who enters the mikdash through these roofs, through one of these roofs, is also patur. Shenemar Vela Mikdash Lo Tavo. You're not allowed to enter into the Mikdash, meaning that you must enter Derech Bia Asra Torah. Only when you enter in a normal manner are you Chayav. But if you enter in a manner that is not Bia, meaning that you come through the roof, right, or you come by the roof, that is there you will not be Chayav, because that's not classified as being Derech Bia. So as Rashi points out here, why can you not eat on the roofs of these lishkot? Because he kasavar these that gagim valiot lo nitkachu. This is the person, this braisa, the author of this braisa is of the opinion that the gagim were no lant nitkadesh b'kdushat ha'azara. Only the ground, the ritzpah, and the avir, and the airspace. And so therefore, until you cannot eat there, you cannot shech the kochim kadeshim there, and also you don't enter that way. If you enter that way, that's not the normal way to enter the mikdash. And therefore, you'll not be chayav for bi'at mikdash bitum'ah, because that's not derech bi'ah. Now, again, on the way out, if you tarry there, or once you're tamei inside the mikdash, then you'll have all the same requirements, or so the same dinim as someone who is tarrying in the mikdash, or someone who became tamei in the mikdash. But here we're just talking about the issue of derech bi'ah. His entering to the mikdash won't make him chayav because he didn't enter the normal way. And this is parallel to what we just said by the Beit HaMenugah that you require. We see that there's this requirement of when you come ba means derech bi'ah, entering in a normal fashion. All right, now the Mishnah says something which seems to be very strange, almost coming out of the blue. And it's Gemara wants the context in which it was said. The next line in the Mishnah it says, Zuhi mitzvata sheish mikdash she'ein chayivin aleha. This is a mitzvah that I say in the Mikdash that you're not chayav. That Beis Din is not chayav to bring a par helam davar tzibur. If they give a psak halacha about this, you're not chayav for it. Why is that? That is because when it comes to par helam davar shel tzibur, when the Beit Din gives a psak halacha that Rov Bnei Israel follow, you're only chayav to bring a par helam davar shel tzibur when the chayt that they discussed was chayav karet b'mezid and a chatat kavua b'shogeg. Biat Mikdash, Tumat Mikdash Kudashav is a din in Ole Vioret. So this is a din in Ole Vioret. Then if Beit Din gave some sort of psak about this, for instance, they gave a psak that you're allowed to go out the longer way instead of the shorter way over there, and Rov Bnei Yisrael did that, they wouldn't bring a Paralam Davar Tzibur because it's not Chatat Kavua. It's something that would end up in an Ole Vioret and not in a Chatat Kavua. So now the Mishnah says, Zu Mitzvah Seish Mikdash Shein Chamila. Hey Chikoi! Where does the Mishnah all of a sudden come off? And like it's like in the middle of a sentence, and all of a sudden it starts off here. The Kamar Zuhi, all of a sudden this is Hatam Kai. The Gemara says, oh, it's over there. It's from the Mishnah in Horiot. The Mishnah in Horiot, which we'll get to, please God, shortly. Horiot discusses this issue of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So in that Mishnah it says, Ein Chayavin Al Asei Valota Sei Shebi Mikdash. You're not Chayav on a Asei and Lota Sei the Mikdash Tumat Mikdash Ugdashav because it's a Karban Olei V'Yareid. You also don't bring an Hashem Talui. An Hashem Talui is brought where you have a Safek in a case where you would, if you know for sure, certain that you had done it Bishogeg, you would bring a Chatat. If you have an uncertainty about it, then you bring an Hashem Talui. But Hashem Talui, again, is only relevant when you have a Chatat Kavua. When you would bring, normally, Bishogeg, you bring a full-fledged Chatat. But when you have a Karban Olevi Orei, the Hashem Talui is not relevant. So Tumat Mikdash Kudashav does not have a Param Helm Dever Tzibor is not relevant there, and neither is a Hashem Talui. But that's not true by Nida. Aval Chayavin Alasei Valotasei Shebit Nida. Now again, there are many other examples. The reason that the Mishnah brings Nida is because it's similar to the case of Tumat Mikdash Kudashav, where after something happens, all of a sudden they find out they're Tamei, what do you do in that case? So since it's a parallel or a very similar case, that's why the Gemara brings it over here. So Aval Chayavin Alasei Valotasei Shebit Nida, because in Nida, if you do it b'mezid, you're Chayav Karet, Nida b'shogeg is Chayav Chatat Kavua. So therefore you could bring a Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur on this case. Similar, you would bring an Hashem Talui on the violation Bishogeg of Nida, because since it has a Chatat Kavua, therefore you'd bring an Hashem Talui for a Yachid. A Tzibur never brings an Hashem Talui, but the Yachid would bring an Hashem Talui if he's uncertain as to what the circumstances were, the situation, whether he was did he violate Bishogeg Nida or did not violate Shogeg Nida. So now, Ve'ezuhi mitzvah tasei shebinida, shechayvin aleha. Where is there a mitzvah that say by Nida that you're chayav? So this is Haya Mishamesh Ima Torah. Person was cohabitating with a woman who is Torah. V'amra lo nitmeiti. And she says all of a sudden, I had a flow, I am now a Nida. Upeiresh miyad. And he leaves right away. He pulls out right away. Chayav. That is chayav for mipnei shitziyato hana lo kibiyato. Because the removing of the member in that state will give him hana'a. And therefore, it's the equivalent of entering into the Nida at that moment. It's no different. Leaving and entering is all the same because of the Hana that is given through the member. So therefore, what does he have to do? And that's what our Mishnah says. He has to wait until the Aver is mate, and then he removes himself, or it'll remove himself by, it'll happen by itself, but he can't actively pull out the member. So, Itmar Abaye, Amar Mishmeid Rav Chia, Barav, Chayav Shtaim. In this instance, he's actually going to be Chayav twice. He's going to chayav two karbanot over here. So the Gemara wants to know, v'chein amar rav amar shmo bar shava amar rav huna chayav shtaim. It's chayav shtaim. Well, what is he chayav shtaim for? Chada knisa v'chada prisha. It's one for entering the nida and one for leaving the nida. So Gemara says, okay, havi bo rabo. Right, so rabo asks, b'mai, or whether it's rabo or rabo, b'mai, what's the case here? What's the case that he's chayav both for the knisa and the yitziyah? I mean, that we understand the case of yitziyah here. The yitziyah is clearly a case where he was being mishamesh the woman, and she tells him she's tamei, and he pulls out right away. For that, he's chayav a chatat. So that we know what the case is. But then, where's this introduction of the knisa? That all of a sudden he's also chayav for entering the woman. So what was the case? So the Gemara says, ilema samach levesta. It's right before her veset. I mean, it's right before the normal time when we would expect her to get her period. Right? We'd expect her to have a flow. And that we're going to see in the Gemara coming up that the Minhag Yisrael is the Frosh Minishinoteyam Samuch Levestan. That the Minhag Yisrael is to an Ona before a period of time of 12 hours prior to when we would normally expect a woman to see her flow, we are poresh from the woman. We do not have bia at that instant. So if it was a case of samach levesta, it's within that time period close to the time that we'd expect her to be a nida. Ubeman, who's the person perpetrating the crime here? If we're talking about a talmid chacham, bishlama kinisa lechayev, then okay, then we can understand on the kinisa is chayav shogeg, is chayav chatat, kasar yachoni livo, because he thought I could do it, even though it was samoch levesta, and he shouldn't have done it, but nevertheless he did. He said, you know what? I'll get it done before she becomes a nida. I think I can finish before she's a nida. Then he finds out after he starts a bia with her, and she it turns out she is a nida. So in that kinisa, he was a shogeg because he thought he could do it. Rashi says because he thought he could do it in enough time. Tosfos says over here maybe he's considered a shogeg because the yetzer al b'shei. It was the yetzer pushed him to do it, or you know he was overcome by his yetzer, and that's why he did it over here. But that's why he's classified as a shogeg. But aprisha for separating amai lechayev. Why is he chayev a korban? Mezidhu. He knows the din. Talmud Chacham knows the din that you're not allowed to be poresh from a woman who becomes a nida. If he knows the din when he pulls out, then it means he's a mezid. So we can't be talking about a shogeg. Even though by the case of knisa, he's classified as a shogeg, even though he knows the din, because over there, even though he knows the din, it's not guaranteed that it'll be in violation of nida. I mean, the din is, or the minog is to separate so we don't violate nida, but that doesn't guarantee that you will violate nida, and he thought he could get away with it. So that's why he's a shogeg over there. Well, iba ma'aretz, if we're talking about an ma'aretz over here, idividi, achal shnei zeite chelev belam achadu. Then both the knisa and the prisha are one violation of nida. He doesn't know in between. Now, even though he finds out, this is what Rashi says and Tosafot say over here, even in between he finds out that she says nitameti. So now he knows that he's, you know, when he was nichnas to the nida, but he doesn't think he's chayav a korban for that. So since he doesn't think he's a chayav korban, that's not a yediyah bentayim. That's not enough of a yediyah between the two cases. And therefore he has two violations of nida, bishogeg, which means you bring one chatat, just like by chelev. Two violations of chelev in one helem, you bring one chatat. So how could you say you're chayav shtayim over here? So we don't have a case. Ela must be b'she'ein samuch levesta. It's a case where it's not close to reveset. Ubeman, again, who's the perpetrator over here? Ilei mu tamud chacham, right? If it's a tamud chacham, v'lo chado, v'lo mechayev. Right, he's not even chayav even one chatas over here. Why? Ah, knisa. Ilei mu tamud chacham, v'lo chado. Right, there's not even one korban is chayev. Lo mechayev knisa onus. He's not chayev on the knisa because over there he is an anus. He wasn't close to vesta. He shouldn't have expected her to be a nida. There's nothing. He's a complete anus over here. So therefore he's obviously patur, right? Ah, prisha mezid. And on the prisha he knows the din and he pulls that anyway. That for that he's a mezid. So if you have an anus and mezid, we're not talking about korbanot over here. He's not even chayev one korban. Iba maaretz chadohu demechayev. By an omaretz, and he's only chayev one korban, a prisha. Right? So that he'll only be chayev on the prisha because the knisa was bonus. Knisa bonus means that you're not chayev. You only chayev a korban when it's a shogeg, when you should have known better, you should have learned, should have had some knowledge, you should have made better precautions. By complete onus, we're not going to say that he's chayev a korban. So here there's only one korban. So what's this case that the bai is speaking about where you're chayev to korbanot? So hadamarova. Yes. Right. Why is he? What Josh is asking is why if she only becomes tamei after the knisa, right? Then he's not really boel nida. When he was boel, she was not yet a nida. She only becomes a nida at the point in time when he's already inside. So why is that classified as that's what you're asking. Why is that classified as boel nida, right? Because once she says nitmeiti, he's in the middle of the bia. When she says nitmeiti, so he's in the middle of the act. I assume that's what you have to say. So Amar Rav Olam, b'samach levesta v'tamud chacham. Talking about a case of samach levesta and a tamud chacham. V'tamud chacham lezu, v'ein tamud chacham lezu. He's a tamud chacham for one item, and he's not a tamud chacham for the other item, which is that he knows the din of samach levesta, but he doesn't know the din of prisha. So since he knows the din of samach levesta, over there he's going to be chayav a korban, and because there he thinks he could do it, and then he's able to get it, and he ends up being wrong. So there he brings a korban, and on the case of prisha, he's chayav because he's not really a talmud chacham for that. He doesn't really know. There he's also a shogeg when he does the prisha, because when he pulls out, he didn't know that din. Now even though Rashi points out over here, even though when he pulls out, it's like Omer Mutar, but in between he has some sort of, does he have a Yediyah in between? We said before by the Amaretz that there's no Yediyah in between. If there's no Yediyah in between, then it's like one Karban Chatat on the Knesset and the Prisha. All of a sudden, why over here is there two Karbanot? So Rashi discusses that. In Rashi, there's a long Rashi with Talmud Chacham Lazu. He says, Uvishnei Zeite Chelev Be'alam Echad Lohavya. It's not considered like two Zeitim in one Helem. Shari Talmud Chacham Hu Lazu. He shouldn't have been doing the biyak somoch levesta. Because sorry, yachonu livol kodem. He thought I could get away with it. Once she says nitmeiti, yadasha chata knisa. He knows he did something wrong about the knisa. He has a yediyah already. That yediyah, because he knows the din about somoch levesta. So he has a yediyah about that. V'havila yediyah ben knisa leprisha. That's the equivalent. Then he has a yediyah between the knisa and prisha, and that separates between the two karbanot. As opposed to the Amma Oretz, who does not have any yediyah in between, because he just doesn't know the din. He doesn't know either din. Here the Talmud Chacham knows one of the dinim. That one din that he knows is a yediyah to separate between the other din. V'im tomar, that's not a question. So this is what Rashi says. There is no din of karet and chatat samuch levesta. If you're a boel samuch levesta, there is no din of a chatot. You have to be boel and nida in order to be chayav. Until she becomes tamei, and that's where I think answering you, Josh, that the case here is where she becomes tamei in the middle, and he's in the act of being boel, and that's what makes him a boel nida here. Knisa doesn't literally mean the knisa. When he entered, she wasn't nida, just in the act of bia that she becomes tamei. All right, we'll stop over here, and please God, we'll continue tomorrow with this sugya of the vestot.